This is Taking Action Today with Michael Alder, episode 32. I love real estate stories. What's up, everybody? I was listening to a podcast earlier today with my buddy Andy McFarland, and I found out that he wholesales over 100 properties per year. We're going to get his strategy so we can start taking action today and wholesale 100 houses ourselves. Let's get right into this. Andy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Now, you're the creator of I Love Real Estate Stories, and I'm excited to dive into that because there's not a shortage of great stories in this business. But I actually seen a video you shared that, it's mind-blowing as far as going against the grain, making offers that are crazy, and actually winning in the end. And it was about a property you purchased off of a truck driver that was at the loading docks that you worked at. You mind diving into that story with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So my last real W-2 job was I was a dock worker. I call myself a dock slave. And every night, we would be loading freight, breaking freight and loading it. And the drivers would be sitting in the break room waiting for us to finish their truck so they could go load their route or they could go drive their routes. And I made friends with one of these guys. So over about a year period, he was sitting in the break room. I'd come in and talk to him. And I loved real estate. I was into real estate at the time. I'd read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I was just getting started. And he was telling me he had some rental properties. And I was fascinated by that. So I started talking to him about it. And he told me he had one for sale. So he took me to it. We drove out and looked at it. And he wanted full retail value for that house. At the time, it was worth $80,000. In fact, it probably wasn't worth $80,000 because he had it listed for $80,000 or $85,000 and nobody was buying this property, right? But I said, well, would you finance me on it? Because I knew a little bit about creative financing, just a little bit. And he was friends with me. So he said, yeah, I'll finance you on it. He said, if you give me $5,000 down. So what I worked out with him was I paid him $80,000 for this house, which again, that was probably full market value for it, gave him $5,000 down, but he financed the balance, $75,000, at no interest for 12 years. So my payments were $520.83 a month and for 12 years, straight up, no principal or straight principal. Now, the funny thing about that was I had some other experienced investors, and I recommend people go find experienced investors if you're trying to get started in this. But I was saying, hey, what do you guys think of this deal? And they're like, you're crazy. That thing's not worth $80,000. Don't buy it. And I said, well, guys, what if he would finance me at no interest? And they were like, you're nuts. Nobody will ever do that. Stop even thinking about that type of stuff, right? But I did it. I made it. I worked it out and it worked for me. So don't ever believe what sometimes experienced investors, don't ever believe people. You might as well try, right? You might as well try. And that was a great deal that I did. God, it's been 11 years now, 12 years now. So.
And was that actually your first deal you did?
That was my first deal. It was probably like my third or fourth deal.
Okay.
But it was my first owner finance deal. And that was awesome. It blew my mind that somebody would do that, but it was amazing.
That's such a great story because I try to stress it on so many different levels. You never know what somebody will say yes to. And even experienced investors are telling you that would never work, but you tried it. And at a principal payment of 500 something a month, you were definitely banging cash flow on that for sure, right?
Absolutely. I mean, every month it kind of broke even because I was renting it for $700.
Okay.
So after paying taxes and insurance and all that stuff, I mean, it was a break even property for me because the tenants stayed in there. But at the end of the day, I mean, my balance sheet was definitely increasing by $520 a month and I didn't have to put any more money in it. I put $5,000 down and the tenants paid the rest of that for me. So yeah.
That's awesome. Now, if you don't mind, would you share the exit strategy on that deal?
Sure. The exit strategy was actually about 4 months ago. My tenant moved out, and the first tenant I ever put in there, they stayed in there for years. And when they finally moved out, the house really needed some updates because I didn't really update it before they moved in. So they moved out, and instead of re-renting it, I decided just to gut the whole thing, fix it up. I threw a lot of money, like $35,000 or $40,000 into it, but I ended up selling it for about $155,000.
About $120,000 in cash after, your investment there?
Yep, $5,000 turned into $120,000 in about 11 years.
Wow.
Which, that's not bad, That's not bad.
No, that's awesome. So we get $120,000 back in cash. Do we go out and do the ultimate party at that point?
Absolutely not. That goes right back into investments. It's just driving it forward, man. Always
driving
it forward.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
So I Love Real Estate Stories. Where did this come from?
Yeah, I Love Real Estate Stories was, I've been doing real estate for 12 years now. I've been a self-employed real estate entrepreneur ever since I got fired from my job on the dock. Yeah, I got fired from that job.
Nice.
So anyway, we can talk about that if you want to. My brother, my older brother, he's just an artist and he's always been interested in like documentary film and making music and things. And he just really hated his job about a year and a half ago. And it just killed me. I always wanted to work with him and my other brother too. There was a kind of a goal of mine a couple years ago. And I said, look, man, why don't you just come and work with me? I said, just start recording the videos of just cool stories and just the life of a real estate entrepreneur. And he thought that was a good idea. So he quit his job, came and worked for me full-time, and that's what he does. Full-time, he helps me. He does a little bit of stuff in my wholesale company, like walkthrough videos and just SEO videos and stuff we're doing for advertising. But mostly it's just 90% of his time is putting together editing videos and shooting videos of just stories from my life of a real estate entrepreneur. Projects I'm doing, wholesale deals, rental properties, that property I just told you about, all of that stuff, right? So that's what he does.
That's awesome. So it's, you're just banging out a tremendous amount of value on this, all for free, video.
All for free.
Nice. Yep.
Every week, every week we put out a video. So if you go to iloverealestatestories.com, we put out a video where it's all hosted on YouTube, but you can go to our URL there. And if you go there, I've got a little opt-in thing, you know, enter your name and email address. All we do is send an email once a week saying, hey guys, here's what's up in our week. Here's the latest video. Check it out. That's it. That's all we do. So I would love for you guys to go check that out.
Yeah, absolutely. Check it out. The videos are phenomenal, full of value. I love them myself. So
awesome. I appreciate that, Mike.
Thank you. Now, the within I Love Real Estate Stories, you got to give me your craziest real estate story yet.
You know, we haven't even put this one to video yet, but because I don't have footage of it, but my craziest story, that's kind of a toss-up, right? Subjective, depending on the investor you talk to. But my craziest story was, I got a riddle for you first, Mike.
Go ahead.
How many cats will fit into a 1,400 square foot apartment?
Ooh, is this in a D-class neighborhood or an A-class neighborhood?
It's probably like a C-plus or B-minus.
C-plus, I'm going to say 14.
Well, you'd be wrong. So here, let me give you the answer, everybody the answer in the story. So there was a property that I got referred to me. This lady was losing it to foreclosure. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, she was a hoarder, had a lot of things going on in her life. She wasn't very healthy. She had a lot of equity, but she was losing it. She couldn't make her payment anymore. So she was referred to me. I went in there and I worked something out with her that she could stay in her property. I would purchase it and I would let her rent it back from me, right? So I went to the property once. And the one time I went to that property, if any of you guys have been to a hoarder house, just stacked full of stuff. It was in December in Utah, which gets pretty cold. And I walked into this house and I tell you guys, the smell was like a punch in the face. Mm-hmm. I walked in there like I could barely stand it, right? But I had to go into the living room and get the contract signed and everything. There was flies swirling around me and there was, you know, a few dogs. But the thing that struck me most was the cats, Mike. There was just so many cats in that place, just kittens and big cats just crawling all over each other in this small apartment, right? This small condo. Mm-hmm. So I got the stuff signed up and I left there, never to go back. She was just renting it from me, and, you know, in the as-is condition. But I got a phone call about 2 months after that from animal control. And they said, we need to call you, sir. Are you the owner of this property? I said, yeah, I am. They said, that's why we need to contact you. We just need to let you know, as the owner, that we went in and we pulled out animals out of that house. And I said, oh, okay, that's great. I'm fine. I mean, right? Because they was damaging my house.
Right.
And they said, we just want to make you aware, sir, that we pulled out 56 cats.
Oh my God.
And he said, and not all of them were alive.
Wow. That's horrible.
Yeah. So 56 cats in this 1,400 square foot apartment. And there was a few dogs in there too, but that place stunk to high heaven. And when she finally did move, we had to strip everything out of the house, not just carpet and not just like the pad and all that, like everything, and it still stunk. There was like something alive in there. Did an ozone machine. What we ended up doing to kill the smell, mm-hmm. we had to half bleach, half water solution, sprayed down the house twice. Everything was stripped out. We sprayed on everything. Then we killed it, and then finally we painted it and threw a new carpet, and finally the smell went away. It was that bad. Never seen anything like that before.
Now, as far as the investment side of it, did you do okay on it still?
Yeah, I did okay. I think I bought the house for like 60 and we sold it for 140.
Wow.
It was small,
okay.
So we didn't need, I mean, we probably spent like 25 on it. So it was a good deal.
So yeah, it's a hell of a profit. Yeah.
And it cash flowed and everything at the time. So it
perfect.
Was cool.
So even on a bad day, as long as you go in with buying right, you're still winning.
Hey, man, people, you know, we know as real estate investors, you know this too, like that smell of cat urine, that's the smell of money.
It is. It really is. You're right. It punches you in the face, but it is a payday.
Yeah, that's an absolute payday. Most people, the lay person that's not into real estate, that just watches HGTV, they get a little bit, you know, they'd be squeezy when they walk into those houses. But when the professional investor walks in, you go, yep, this is money.
Right, negotiation time.
This is money, yep.
You know, I was listening to a interview you did with Justin Williams from House Flipping HQ, and I didn't realize how many houses you actually wholesale in a year.
Yeah, now, I do quite a few.
I've seen that. Now, I'm based in Cleveland, and, you know, the real players here, they're doing really well wholesaling, but there's a tremendous amount of people entering the game. They're being fed bad information from these, you know, three-day seminars or whatever, hitting the market and just doing a horrible job of it, ruining the game. So I would love to squeeze you for a step-by-step wholesaling strategy for all the listeners out there so they can know how to find the house, how to lock it up on a contract, and then how to wholesale it, if you don't mind sharing.
Absolutely. And I think what you're seeing with a lot of the new wholesalers coming in, I mean, it's a popular thing now, right? It's extremely popular again. It's cool again. I've been in this for 12 years, and I know you've been in this for a while too. Mm-hmm. There was a time where it was just like, real estate was a four-letter word. Like, nobody wanted to do it anymore. But now everyone's popping in. But unfortunately for wholesalers, people think it's just a quick and easy buck. And it's a simple concept. But the tough thing is, if you're just trying to go in there and you're not doing anything to find these motivated sellers, if you're just a guy that's looking for a wholesaler and you're going to try to re-wholesale a wholesale, that's a lot of what we're seeing, right? Finding somebody's deal and they see it on an email blast and then they re-blast the email, or they find it on Craigslist and then they repost it on Craigslist. So that's why wholesalers get a lot of bad names. So here's what I would say. If somebody wants to be a wholesaler, recognize, although it's an easy concept, it's not easy to do because you've got to find motivated sellers. And if you're going to find motivated sellers, you need to be digging for them. You need to be doing things. You need to be taking action. I tell people this all the time. If you find somebody that says they're a wholesaler, the first question is to ask them, that's great, you're a wholesaler. How are you finding these properties? And then listen carefully. And if they're telling you things like door knocking, calling sellers, doing bandit signs, doing direct mail, internet advertising, keep those guys' name and number because they're legit wholesalers. And if they don't have a good answer for that, if they're actually not taking action, they're probably not legitimate wholesalers, because wholesaling is deal finding. So make sure you're finding the person that's finding the deal or creating the deal direct from sellers, right? That's mm-hmm. my two bits on it.
No, good call. So as far as finding deals for the new wholesalers out there, you just shared with us some of that. When they get a motivated seller to call them, what should their negotiation steps be?
Oh my goodness, that's tough. There's
I'm going to dig deep on you here.
Yeah, it's fine. It's simple concepts, right? You want to, here's the most simple way I can come. I like to ask people a lot of questions. These motivated sellers, I want to find out what's making them tick. So build rapport with them so that they'll open up to you and share with you their real problem. And once you find out what their real problem is, then you can solve it. Don't assume it's money. Don't assume that they're just looking for the top dollar. It can be a lot of things. It could be time. It could be who's moving into the property. There's a lot of different things. So make sure you listen first. And then you'll hear their problem and then solve their problem by saying, look, if I can give you what you asked for right here, is there any reason you wouldn't sell me the house today like this? And they will, if you'll listen to the problem and find their real problem and give them a solution to that real problem.
Nice. And then once you tie it up under the contract,
yep.
What is the best marketing strategy to bring in the buyers for these true buyers for these wholesalers?
Yeah, good question. It's kind of area specific. I mean, I've heard people, certain areas you can put up bandit signs and say, fixer up or moldy house or whatever, cash must sell quickly. You can do that. Or building a traditional buyers list. And if you're doing that, I would go out and I would find those rehabbers. So you can go to the local real estate investment clubs are great places for this. You'll find the people who are the real players there or people that have done it before. Get their names and numbers. Find out who's actually buying properties. Go to title companies or closing attorneys, whatever your state is, and ask them, somebody that works with investors, and say, hey, who do you know that closes quickly for cash, that fixes up properties or rents properties? Or even better tip, because that's to find flippers and things. But the best buyers I found are buy and hold investors, landlords, because they'll pay more than a fix and flipper. And mm-hmm. as a wholesaler, it's your obligation to not only get the property for the best price you possibly can, but to then sell it for the highest price you possibly can. And that's generally buy and hold investors, landlords.
And where can we find the landlords at? What's your strategy on that?
You know, you can research county records and you can say who owns multiple properties. I mean, it depends on where you're at. Again, some title companies can research that for you. But if you find absentee owners and you see the same name, say, find a list of absentee owners and sort it by owner name. And if you find one company or an owner's name, you see Michael Alder showing up 5 times, that's probably a guy that you want to get to know.
Nice.
And call him up and say, hey, I noticed you've got these 5 properties in this zip code. I've got another one. Are you interested in purchasing it? And the answer to that is generally yes, right?
Right.
Yeah, just doing a little bit of research around there. And if you don't want, you can find that stuff in county records, but also if you've had access to the MLS or you have a friend that has access to MLS, look at properties that are sold around your zip code or around the area where that property was. And you can find a real estate agent that was a selling agent or a buyer's agent that represented them and say, hey, the person that bought that property, or, are they absentee owners or whatever, would they like to buy another one? I found buyers that way too.
That's cool. That's actually a new strategy that has not been brought across the table yet. So I appreciate you sharing that there. That's awesome.
Cool.
Now, with all the houses you have flipped in the previous years here, what are your 2015 goals?
My 2015 goals as far as volume?
Yep.
My 2015 volume goals, $2 million gross wholesale fees.
Wow.
That's my volume goal as far as like profitability there. What that translates to is about 13 to 14 wholesale deals a month. 4 deals per month. Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
I mean, and then now you're doing, is that just through like Google Ads to bring all this in then, or?
No, I do every, I mean, I do a ton of marketing.
Everything, market nonstop, huh?
Market nonstop, pretty much a sales and marketing company. I've got a whole staff and team of people that help me with it. We're always sending out direct mail. We've got a bunch of SEO stuff out there, like videos saying, hey, if you're looking to sell your house fast, we do pay-per-click. I mean, we'll direct mail to a ton of different niches. We'll do bandit signs. We actually go and network with other people too to find deals. I mean, we find them however we can find them, every which way.
Leaving no stone unturned. I love this. No,
absolutely not. I mean, we got to be out there digging and grinding all the time. And we did 15 deals last month, mm-hmm. and we're at 10 already this month. So July's actually been a pretty good month
because we're very only half cool. So you're month. On track. You're definitely going to accomplish this, it looks like.
You know, through June, our projected, because you get a bunch of stuff under contract, sometimes it's not, you don't realize the revenue until you sell it, right? There's various circumstances. But through June, we were at 1.15, I think.
Oh, so, wow. Yeah,
we're on track. We're on track.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, are you offering a coaching program over at I Love Real Estate?
At I Love Real Estate Stories, I actually have a couple of videos that are for sale. So that if you go there, there's a products page there. Okay. And I've got 3 or 4 videos there. And those videos, just so people know, like, one of them, for example, was a training I did for my acquisition managers. Now, I wanted to convert better. So we get all these leads that come in, and I wanted to be able to convert those leads at a higher rate, basically. I want to be able to do more with certain sellers. And when I used to go work with sellers, I've done a ton of seller finance type stuff. I recognize possibilities, and I can put deals together. I can structure them better. But my acquisition managers, some of them were less, they just weren't as experienced in real estate. So I did a training, which was in person, which I recorded, of course, mm-hmm. which was on, I called it Selling Seller Finance, which is basically, I was teaching my acquisition managers how to explain or quote unquote sell the benefits of seller financing to a seller. Now, it's a little different way of looking at it. A lot of people say, oh, I understand seller finance, Andy. I know you can do lease options. You can do all-inclusive trust deeds. You can contract for deeds, right? You know that stuff. That's mm-hmm. not what it was about. It was a course on listening to a seller, understanding their needs, and recognizing, oh, I should pitch them this form of seller finance because it's actually better for them. And then once you recognize it, which is the first step, step number two is being able to sell those benefits to them using things like a lot of different things like structuring payments with them or how is it called? Installment sales. Because most sellers don't know what an installment sale is, right? And most investors don't know what an installment sale is. Mm-hmm. So recognizing as the investor that these people would be perfect for an installment sale is going to save them money on taxes and be able to explain that to them and structure a deal which is better for the investor, which is also better for the seller. So again, I did this training 4 hours long in depth on how to do seller financing for flips, how to do long-term seller financing, how to structure deals that are true owner financing. But it was all about the investor perspective, how to understand and then use the words the sellers are going to understand so they'll want to give you seller financing. And again, like all of that was just so that we can convert at a higher rate. Just so when people won't take our low cash offer, which is what most newer investors do, mm-hmm. they beat them up with what I call the cash hammer. They say, I need to buy this property for X. And they beat them over the head, right? I need to get it for cheap. Well, what if the seller can't do that? What if they owe more? What if they just won't budge? You can still structure a terms deal that can be a better deal for you and also for the seller. Like we started out this call with, that guy that I negotiated with who was when I was a dock worker, I worked out a better deal for him and it was a better deal for me, but I paid him full market value. Understanding that and being able to structure deals like that is amazing. So yeah, I have videos like that. Again, to get back to your point.
No, oh, that's huge. Like that, yeah. I'm going to link to all that in the show notes, like especially in my marketplace, you know, there's the people that have money and there's a whole lot that don't. So seller financing is huge over here. So, you know, just for that alone, I'll be sure to link to that and share that. You know, everybody could use that knowledge.
If investors had that, like I'm telling you, we're up against, I see so many investors that we're quote unquote competing against here in our market, mm-hmm. and they don't know that stuff. They just don't have that knowledge. And it just takes a little bit more, just putting those tools in your tool bag, like just taking a little more effort to do that. And my team, I want my team to have it. So all my acquisition managers have that. They review those videos and I'll even role play with them. In fact, when you watch those videos, you think it's funny, but I've trained for that on 4 hours. But a part of that was role-playing. I made the people that were there at the seminar role-play certain circumstances. They had to understand it, they had to see it, and then they had to role-play it. Because that's where the rubber really hits the road.
Right, like, right, absolutely. So when they're in the actual battlefield there, they're not stuttering over their words. They're able to close it out and ready to go.
Absolutely. And when people see that video too, now I explain one concept. So there's 4 different channels I take people down in this. And when I explain the concept number one, and after I've explained it, I say, okay, now you guys need to do it. And then from the video standpoint, if somebody's watching that video, you get to read what the investor knows in the role play first. So you as like following along at home, right? You can read what the investor knows and you can watch as the investor tries to find out from the seller and negotiate. And at the end of all that, you can read what the seller knew and then you get the takeaways that everybody was discussed. So you can, in a sense, play along at home, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. That's a concept that hasn't been in the programs either, I don't think. At least not that I've seen. And I've scouted a lot of programs just to see what other people are putting out there, you know?
Yeah, and this wasn't, I didn't make it necessarily for a program. I really made it for my own staff, which that should give people confidence in knowing that, like, no, this is what he's given his troops on the ground to go negotiate with. So it's good stuff.
Right, and you're on track to do 2 million, so it's got to be quality.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Now, for the newbies out there that are dying to get into real estate and they don't know where to start, can you give us a couple action steps to get them on the right track?
Yeah, you know what? If you're new, it depends on what you want to do. So let me say that first. But number one, I would say, figure out what it is you want to do. And we probably don't have time to go into that today. If you want to be a landlord, if you want to be a wholesaler, if you want to be a fix and flipper, but figure out what it is you want to do. And I would recommend find somebody who is where you want to be. That's the number one thing. If you can find somebody who has done or is where you want to be, find them, talk to them, learn from them, emulate them. Don't reinvent the wheel. That's the fastest way to success, okay? Now, I'm assuming when you ask that question, you wanted like an actual real life specific tip. And I'll give you one too for somebody that wants to be like a fix and flipper or a landlord or maybe even a wholesaler, okay? I'll give them like a real boots on the ground tip that they can take. That's like a free marketing tip for them, right? Like my best tip of how to find deals, okay? But don't underestimate what I first said. Like find somebody who is where you want to be. If you want to do $2 million a year, like you can come talk to me, right? And I'll show you how to do what it is that I do. But I can't tell you how to be Donald Trump, right? You have to go to Donald Trump for that, right? But again, find someone who is where you want to be. But the tip, the boots on the ground tip, the best thing I can give somebody, and this is a free tip that people can do. So listeners should not underestimate this. Build what I call a friends list, a quote unquote friends list. What I used to do on my iPhone, you know, you've got little notes on your Android or iPhone, like a little note thing.
Yep.
Pull up a note and I would pull up a note. Here's an example. I would go to a real estate investment meeting, for example, right? And I would go there and I'd meet a guy named Mike. Michael. And I'd be like, what's up, Mike? And he'd say, hey, I'm a wholesaler. And I'd be like, cool, Mike, you're a wholesaler. What do you do? And Mike would move forward and say, you know what? I door knock people that are notice of defaults or tax lates, or I send out a lot of direct mail. Recognizing, again, Mike is a guy that takes action. He's a wholesaler and he takes action. So I know he's going to find deals because he's taking action. I would say, Mike, would you mind? I said, I'm looking for a deal. I'm looking to be their landlord or fix and flip a property. Would you mind if I follow it up with you? Because I'm absolutely interested in purchasing a deal from you. And what's Mike going to say? You can be Mike in this circumstance.
Yes.
Yes, right? So I'm going to go, great. I'm going to pull up my notes, my little note thing on my phone. I'm going to put Mike Alder, and I'm going to put the phone number there. I'm going to put 555-555-5555, right? It's like a little hyperlink in there, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And then I'm going to do that, rinse and repeat. I'm going to find people who are actively looking in this market that seem like they know what they're doing. And what I'm going to do with that is I'm going to probably call you, Mike, once a week or maybe twice a week, right? And I'm not going to be annoying. I'm just going to click that hyperlink. I'm going to call you up and say, hey, what's up, Mike? And you're going to say, hey, we met at that real estate investor meeting. I know you're digging and doing stuff. You're taking action, which is awesome. Hey, I'm just curious. I'm looking for a deal right now. What do you got in your pipeline?
Lay it on you there.
Yeah. And you're going to be like, well, you know, I have one under contract. Or you're going to be like, I don't have one right now. Well, if they say don't have one right now, are you still doing those things? Yeah, I'm still taking action. And I would say, is there anything coming? Are you working on anything? Are you close on anything? I call it picking their pockets. If you pick a wholesaler's pockets like that, if you're just kind of scratching around and like asking those follow-up questions, chances are, Mike, right now, and I'm assuming you look for deals. I'm assuming right now you either have a deal under contract or you've got something that's kind of close.
I'm going to email you about 6 to 10 as soon as we get off this call here.
But do you know what I'm saying? Like you've
right.
got something, right?
Yep.
So do that. And if you act like every person you say, I need a deal, Mike, I need a deal. And if you do that, don't be annoying. I mean, make sure you're not annoying to them, build that friendship and seek to add value to them. But if you do that to somebody once or twice a week, you think when they get a deal, they're not going to think of you first. You're not going to be top of their mind. Build that friends list. And if you need a deal, hit that friends list once or twice a week. And I promise you, like that networking, because once you leave that meeting, most people like throw the business card away and don't do anything else. Put it on your friends list. Remind yourself to do it every week. And then after you call Mike up, maybe you just put a little note on there that said, I called him on July 15th, right? So you don't call him the next day or be annoying or whatever, right? But just do that. Just go through once a week and do that. And if you build that list of real players that are finding deals and you hit them, like talk to them or text them once a week, you are going to get deals. I promise you that. I still do that. And I'm an active marketer, but I still do that to get other deals.
Dude, so, this is huge. I mean, you know, First off, you delivered a ton of information today, way more than I expected. And then for the action steps, you've gone above and beyond what any of our guests have done yet, you know, as far as breaking it down. So I appreciate all the new strategies you brought to the table.
No worries, Mike. Under-promise and over-deliver, right?
You did, without a doubt.
Awesome.
So where can we connect with you at?
You know, I Love Real Estate Stories. It's kind of like my baby, and like I love it. Like I'm there on the videos. I'm there in the comments. So people can go there, connect with me there, get on the email list for sure. If you want to email me, you can email me at andy@iloverealestatestories.com. So andy@iloverealestatestories.com, and I'll email you back. I love it. It's kind of my passion. You know, like I'm doing a ton of real estate stuff, and I've got a machine that kind of runs a little bit without me, but I'm in I Love Real Estate Stories. Like I'm passionate about that. Me and my brother do that. So that's kind of where people can hit me where I'm in love, and that's where I'm in love, you know?
Perfect. I'm going to link to all this in the show notes. I mean, this has been huge. I'd love to have you back in the future as a follow-up, see if you hit your goals, and we'll share ours as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. I appreciate your time. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, Mike.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening in today. For more tips on real estate investing and creating streams of passive income, stop by michaelalder.com or connect with me on Twitter at michaelalder34, or you can find me on Facebook. All right, everybody, thanks, and let's take action today.